Hello, we're back. It's Alexis and Samantha of An Extra Dose.
What was up with that hello?
I don't know. I was trying to switch it up, but
it didn't work.
Maybe I should have viewed the introductions.
Okay, fine. I'll do it.
It already started.
Hi, guys.
No, I said that last time. Here's the banter that normally takes place. And I usually win them, just if you want to know.
No.
Oh, my God. Anyways, we're back. It's Alexis and Samantha of A Double Dose blog, and we're back with our fifth episode of An Extra Dose podcast, and we're going to be, like usual, we're gonna be covering topics that you guys have requested, so hopefully that will answer a lot of the stuff that we've gotten asked recently. And in case you're a new listener, we have covered a lot of topics that people ask us about a lot, which is like our nails. We talked about that in one of the past episodes, and we also talked about our eyebrows. So we sound like all we care about is vanity, but those are the topics that we get asked a lot. So we did cover those in our other podcasts, and teeth whitening also, because I kept getting DMs on Instagram about, I don't know about you, Sam, but
yeah.
I was getting DMs about the nails. I keep getting them over and over again, which is fine. I love that you guys love them that much, but we talked all about them in detail on the podcast. I think it's easier if you just listen to that than me, like, repeat myself and probably not give all the information out. So today we're going to start off with the topic that I'm sure a lot of bloggers get asked, and we get asked a lot, and we have written about it in a post form on our blog, but we thought we'd talk about it a little bit on here too, just so you can hear it from our mouths and not just, like, on a computer screen. And that is tips on blogging and kind of starting out. And I'm just going to say, to start off with, we did not go into blogging thinking that we were ever new bloggers. And I think that in the last few years, it has become such a thing. Obviously, everybody wants to do it. It looks glamorous. And trust me, it is fun. But I also think that people just see, like, the superficial part of it. And they see a highlight reel. And they're like, oh, I want to do that. A bunch of free clothes, a bunch of free stuff, and blah, blah, blah. And the list goes on. And yeah, that's all true. But you need to make sure you're doing it for the right reasons. Don't. You know, it's fine to have a hobby on the side or post on Instagram, but it's totally different when you make it a business. And I would say really do it because you really are passionate about it. Don't just start it because you see everyone else doing this and you want to have X amount of followers and this all this free stuff and make it a job. Like, it really needs to be something that you really love. I know that I love it and I'm passionate about it, and I hope it reflects that way, but I know that I love it that much because I can't put it away. Like, I think about work all the time. You're the same, obviously, Sam. And that's when I know, like, I'm super passionate about it and I'm constantly thinking about it. And not in a negative way most of the time. It's mostly, like, just ways to improve it or, oh my God, like, I just can't put it away. Like, I can't stop working. And it's, yeah, it's obviously, like, I'm driven, but it's also because I love it so much. I love interacting with you guys. I love finding stuff to show you guys. And that's constantly what I'm thinking about, so more than, like, anything else in my life, sadly, but, so, yeah, that's my main tip, is to do it for the right reasons. Don't just do it because you see everyone else doing it. To be honest, it's super saturated right now, especially if you're a fashion blogger. There's just, I feel like there's someone new every day, and I think that's great, but you have to be able to set yourself apart, and, like, it's easy to copy other people and to do all that. And so if you're not passionate about, or it's not, like, really, like, something that you're really into, it's gonna show. So I'll let you share another tip.
I guess my tip would be, like, going off what Alexis said, it's very easy because everyone sees it all the time on, you know, on Instagram. And honestly, we get so many messages and emails about, like, what tips we have and what you should do. And my biggest tip is, first of all, don't just try to, like, see what everyone, like Alexis is saying, don't just try to see. I think it applies to anything in life. I mean, if you're going to just go copy what someone else is doing, I mean, what's the reason someone should follow you as opposed to someone else? I mean, you need to think outside of the box and think, what do I have to offer? Everyone's unique. What do you have to offer that, like, so-and-so doesn't, or, like, everyone else doesn't offer? So it's very easy to be like, okay, look, they're all posting, like, the new arrivals from X store, and they're just, like, you know, posting them in a mirror, like, I should just do the same thing. I mean, yes, it'll work to some extent, but again, everyone else is doing that, so, I mean, what's to say they should follow you and not someone else, or buy it from you and not someone else? So you really need to sit back and think, what is it that I have to offer? And, I mean, it might take you some time to figure it out, but, you know, no one expects you to be able to know right this second when you start something, but I would suggest taking the time to figure it out eventually figure out what, you know, it's fine to do, you know, whatever right now, but eventually figure out what it is that you have to offer that you are really passionate about that you can figure out. I know for us, I mean, obviously it's about sharing affordable pieces. We love designer stuff, obviously. We love also sharing stuff that's really affordable and just everyday basics that you guys can wear. And then also we both worked in, if you know this or not, but we worked in public accounting, both of us. So we do know, you know, we've once had to dress in corporate attire. So I know a lot of people like seeing that. And then the huge part for us was that we, before doing this, we both did personal training after we left our corporate job. So a lot of people know us for being fitness. We did fitness before we even blogged. We were personal trainers and we would share a lot of workout videos that people who followed us way back when a few years ago, they still request those and they like seeing those. So when we first stopped doing that and trying to transition to blogging, everyone was like, where are the videos? And they still wanted that. Like everyone unfollowed us and they just wanted the videos. And they would still message us on the outfits. And I'm like, I'm not doing that anymore. But as time's gone on, I'm like, I still like to work out, just not as like much as I used to. But I still work out, like you guys know, a lot. And we are passionate about that. So whether it's working on a campaign for a brand, like something for working out, or if it's fitness related, or just like overall health, like recipes, you know, we like sharing that. So I feel like, again, that's also become kind of saturated because everyone with the new year and like everything like that, people just try to like, I mean, it's sad to say, but people one up each other all the time. And there's a lot of nice people in the blogging world, but I mean, there's some people that aren't very nice, like anything else. So I feel like everyone's trying to compete. And that is another thing, I mean, not to sound negative, but it's the truth, is that it is extremely, extremely competitive. If you're going in thinking like, oh, I'll just like kind of, you know, do whatever, I mean, you're going to get whatever you put into it. So if you're like looking to do this full time, I mean, you really need to take it seriously. You need to think back, like think about how much time you're kind of willing to put into this. Like Alexa's saying, we kind of like eat, it sounds crazy, but we like breathe it. Whatever the saying is. I sound like an idiot.
We like breathe it.
No, I meant like when you eat, breathe it. Whatever. What's live the saying? It. Live it. Whatever. I don't know. I'm botching it. I sound like a dummy. But my point is, it's like on your mind all the time. You're doing it all the time. And if you're kind of doing it as a side gig, that's fine. But you're going to, I mean, it's going to be a side gig. I mean, that's just.
I have interjected her just for a second and really embarrass her.
No, Alexa, stop.
No, because when you said I sound like a dummy, she called Ben. Sorry, I can't keep a straight face when I say this. She called beignets beignets. I didn't know what she was talking about. Sorry, when you said you were a dummy, I just couldn't stop laughing. I had to share.
By the way, this is like typical for us. We'll just give each other, I mean, we're so mean to each other. But we're
really horrible. If you're a twin. This is not even close to what it comes down to.
Oh, no. If you're not a twin, then your sibling, you and your sibling might fight like this. You have a best friend, but if you're a twin, you get it. You're like, it's like another level.
Oh, that was another topic people wanted to know. Okay.
Sorry, we were trying to figure out what we
were brainstorming topic ideas. Like, we literally just thought about it right before we did it, to be honest. And that's a topic people wanted to hear. So, we
need okay. to do that. Next podcast. Anyway, going off that, so those two things are, like Alexis and I mentioned, I think those are the top two things that I think. For tips on blogging.
And there's some, like, if you branch out from those top two, if you've already started one, my suggestions, and I think we mentioned these in a blog post before, would be, I mean, the thing with Instagram, it's always changing. The algorithm, unfortunately, has changed a million times. And when we first started 2.5 years ago, you could post something and you were guaranteed to get a certain amount of likes. I mean, not guaranteed, but, like, you could expect it to get X likes. Now it's, like, no one sees your posts. You don't know if Instagram hides them. I don't know if people don't want to see them. But I'll have some that are, like, pretty high or, like, the average what I should be getting in my mind. And then there's some that are, like, literally, like, a quarter or a fifth of it. And it's, like, I get so annoyed. I sit there and get upset about it like it's a big deal or something. But
we both do.
I get, like, really upset about it. I mean, I'm not, like, crying. But I'm, like, this is so annoying. Like, why is it so low? Why?
Well, it sounds ridiculous, like, to the normal. Like, someone who has a normal Instagram. Like, if you guys just follow, like, how you guys just follow random accounts. You post. You might post occasionally on your account, whatever. You're not thinking about it as a job. You're just, like, oh, I went to, you know, with my friends here. And, like, I'm just going to post a picture. Like, you don't care. I mean, I don't think you do if you get like a certain amount of likes, but like for us as like a business, you're really looking at analytically. So you're like, okay, That means no one wanted to see this. They think this is ugly. They think this is hideous. No one liked this outfit. They think it's horrible. So you're like, okay, I should not post this again.
Yeah, or if you're doing it for a company, a campaign, and it does shitty, then you're like, sorry, excuse my language. It doesn't do well, perform as you expected. Then it makes you look bad because you told a brand that this you would hit this many numbers, or previously it's how it would do, and then they think you're not gonna get sales, which it honestly doesn't mean you're not making money or you're making sales. The likes really have a little bit of impact, but it really doesn't. Just because someone has X amount of likes doesn't mean that they're making more money or that they're doing better than other people. I mean, it's so interesting, and I mean that's kind of going off topic, but I'm just saying like. The numbers are important to me. I guess I value them a lot. I place a lot of emphasis on them. And so my point is, like, with the algorithm, you can't really know what, you know, what's going to happen or how you can get likes or how you can grow followers. I mean, there's really no one answer. But I would suggest is trying to interact with people on there. I always respond try to respond to everybody who comments my pictures, either by liking, like, hearting it or so showing that I acknowledged it or I saw it. Or if people have a question, I always try to answer it. And if I didn't, it's because I didn't see it. I don't go out of my way to ignore them because I really feel like if people are commenting and taking the time, you need it. They're the ones that are supporting your business and your page. So I really value that. And if anyone sends me direct messages, I almost always answer them. And then people are so surprised. And I'm like, of course I'm going to answer it. They're literally so shocked that I'm going to answer. I guess a lot of people don't. And that surprises me because I just feel like that's your audience.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of times actually where I will even get messages. People will send me messages of other bloggers' outfits, and they'll say like, "What are these pants? Or what is this dress?" And like, obviously, I know who it is, but obviously, to me, that person's not responding to them, and they don't necessarily have. It doesn't matter like how many followers they have, but I mean, these people don't really have. It doesn't matter if they had a million more than I do or not. But the point is, I mean, they don't. But the point is. I don't think you're ever important enough. I mean, unless you're like, you know, like Kim Kardashian.
Then they have assistants. Yeah. So, yeah.
But she's not going to open up all the messages that she's getting. But I don't think at this stage, I don't think, especially if you're starting out and if you're not, I mean, mm-hmm. we've been doing this a while. I don't think I'm ever too important to have to respond to someone. Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, they're not like stupid questions. They're questions about something I've posted, like a size or the quality or what would you recommend for this? Like, people are looking at for you to advice, and if they're not, then I don't really know why they're following you, I guess for inspiration. But I really, like, to me, it means so much that people value my opinion, and they're really, like, trusting what I have to say. They're, like, we're sharing stuff, and they're trusting a review of it, and they're trusting what we have to say. So I feel like I owe it to people to answer if they have questioning something that I posted or something that I shared. I don't think you can share something and then be like, okay, I'm falling off the face of the earth now, so...
Yeah, and I think that all goes back to Alexa saying with the algorithm and everything changing. I mean, a couple years ago, everything was great. Like Alexa, you could post whatever, and I feel like everyone would see it that wanted to see it. And now it's like, I guess it's like whoever wants to see it technically by how they engage with you. But you're trying to be. I mean, no one's an authority because like I didn't major in like blogging, okay? But
or anything social media. Yeah, related.
But what I'm saying is, I'm not an authority in it. But obviously, you get more experience and you know what things worked for you and like how things, you know, what things did well for you. So with that being said,
and you have more of a platform that you can try so much more.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I'm saying. Goes back to finding your niche and like what you think, what you are really passionate about, and what you can offer to people, not just like trying to think of it.
Well,
like,
and I also think going off that topic is as you get bigger and as you grow, you get approached by lots of companies and brands, and you have to kind of be you don't have to be selected. You have to decide what you're willing to share and what you're not. I mean, obviously, yes, you could say yes to every campaign and take all the money and make a lot of money, but if you're smart about it, you won't say yes to everything because there's some stuff that you have to weigh and be like, is this going to go over with my audience? Is this something that fits my brand? Is this, you know, does it work? Because the second you post something that doesn't fit your brand or seems inauthentic, I mean, people will realize and they will call you out on it. Or I'm not saying it's happened to us. So I'm saying I've seen other people and they will call you out on it, or they'll be like, okay, this is obviously paid. And then there's like not even paid. I think it's just like how you do it. And if you're going to do so that's not authentic to your brand, it's not going to go over well. And people are not stupid. They see right through it. So you really have to weigh the money and weigh the opportunities. And some of them are great partnerships. Like if you do something that really works with your brand and you build a relationship, it's really, I mean, that's great, because if it's something that it's a brand that you've always loved or whatever, then it's a mutually beneficial relationship. Both you are getting exposure, but you have to be careful with what you choose, you know, who you choose to work with. And like I said, the money can be very
enticing.
Yeah, enticing, but you really have to be careful, because I was listening to a podcast a couple of days ago, and they were talking about this person was a beauty blogger, makeup and beauty, and they were talking about a product that I guess, I don't know what it was, but something that everyone was getting sent and getting being paid to post about, and this blogger had tried it, and it, you know, it did not go well. It did not go well with her skin or whatever, and so it's important, like, if you just post something and you haven't tried it, which we always try to do, because what if what if it's something that's bad and you're, like, advertising this and then people buy it and they're trusting your opinion? I mean, there's lots. I see it all the time on Instagram. People just post whatever is sent to them, and I'm like, you really have to be careful about what you're sharing with your audience, because you just never know.
I mean, each time you do something, okay, one time maybe your audience will be like, okay, that's fine, whatever. Everyone has their faults, or maybe she actually liked it or something.
Yeah.
But it happens like more than once, and you keep doing it, you're losing more and more your mm-hmm. trust in your, like, the trust they have in you. And so eventually you're going to get to a point where brands aren't going to want to pay you anymore, because they're not going to see an ROI on anything you're doing.
Or like if you just work with, say yes to every single person, like, what is really authentic to what you like?
Yeah.
You can't like every single thing.
So I think those are all things you really need to consider. I think it's very easy to look at it as it is at the end of the day, if you're doing it as a business, it's a business. So it's not just like, you really have to be methodical what you're doing. But I mean, I'm not going to lie, there's a lot of fun opportunities we get, and things that, I mean, we marry, you know, that,
you know, yeah, they're not like exactly our brand, but we make it fit, or we're like, I think it still goes.
So you just, at the end of the day, have to see what, you know, weigh what works for you. But I think all those things that we were talking about are things definitely to consider if you want to start a blog, or if you already started a blog, you're kind of stuck and you don't know what to do. So hopefully that helps. But as always, if you have specific questions, we can talk about it in another podcast, or we'll be happy to answer it personally. So if you email us or message us on Instagram.
And our next topic is obviously beauty related. I feel like we've been sharing a lot of beauty related topics, and to be honest, you guys, we don't wear a lot of makeup every day. We were talking to someone else about this the other day, and it's like, for me, it's like I wear the least amount of makeup I can. I just hate wearing a lot. And if you didn't catch it, we did our must have makeup items on the blog a couple weeks ago. So, and if you read the post, you'll see it's not a lot of heavy makeup. It's just very bare.
And we did also a skincare one.
Yeah, we did the skincare products too, which that's like your canvas. So if you start with bad skin, I mean, obviously you're going to be piling on the makeup to cover that up. So the most important thing is to have good skin and to take care. I mean, and this is another topic, your gut. So everything starts in your gut. And if you have problems with your gut, your skin's going to be shit. So that's another topic that I'm sure we'll get into. Some of you guys may have seen our stories over the weekend about kind of the stuff we're going through right now, but I would definitely say we try to do the least amount of makeup as possible. And so going off that topic, our lashes, we do have naturally pretty long lashes.
This is a topic, by the way, that has been requested a lot, so we just figured we'd cover it in a podcast. Yeah.
So it's not like, oh, I want to talk about my lashes now. And trust me, we're not that vain, but people just like, obviously, if I was following myself or I followed Sam or whatever, I'd be wondering, like, what, you know. So we're actually covering two topics that kind of go on that. But the first one is our lashes. And we do, I have to say, I mean, even, like, in high school and college, we would get asked a lot about what mascara we used. And at that time, we just have full lashes. We have a lot of natural lashes. It's just very full, just like our hair. We have a lot of hair. And we're blessed to have that. But our lashes are pretty full, too. We don't have, like, tiny eyes either. And our lashes, we have pretty long, full lashes. And so the mascara that I used and I still use on my bottom lashes is the Definisils, the Lancome Definisils mascara. I don't use waterproof or anything, just, like, the black. And I just like the way that it's not clumpy. I mean, I've tried other ones, but I always stick with that one. I know there's, like, a new one on the market every day, but that's the one that we use. And about, I don't know how many years ago it was,
like three
years ago, we were personal training and one of our clients had I kept looking at her lashes. I was like, she just, to me, she just had really pretty lashes. I was like, I don't know how they're so long, but they look amazing.
Maybe, but they're not just long. They're like curved.
Yeah, they're curled. Not like curved. They're curled, but not like in a fake lash looking way. Not like, in false lash looking way. They're not super full. I mean, well, I'll go into detail in a second, but hers just looked like she had really long, natural, curled lashes. And she wasn't wearing any makeup, so I was like, wow, like, I don't know. Her lashes are just amazing. And come to find out, she had lash extensions, and I didn't even know that was a thing. This was a couple years ago. It wasn't that popular then. I mean, it was popular, but it's definitely, like, everyone knows about them now. So she had them, and we, like, asked her about them, and then I was like, okay. At that time, we were personal training, not wearing any makeup, kind of somewhere I am now, but even more. So I didn't get ready. And I was like, I need to have these lashes. And they're definitely an investment, but I mean, it is now 3 years later, and I can't live without them. I know it sounds ridiculous, but if you've ever had them, or if you've seen them, or if you haven't had them, you probably don't understand, but they're literally life-changing. And even our mom has them now, too, and she's obsessed with lashes. I mean, she would wear so much mascara. Like, she couldn't go anywhere without mascara. And I was like, I didn't really care about that, but it makes such a difference, especially when you're not wearing makeup, like, to go to the gym. I do not wear any makeup. I wear maybe some tinted moisturizer, but that's literally it. I don't even put under eye concealer or anything. So to have like lashes when you wake up is just an amazing thing. It sounds ridiculous, but you just look so much more awake. If I even lose a little bit of them before I go for the fill, I'm like, I look so dead. I look asleep. Well,
that's me right now.
Yeah, but I mean, I need to go get them done. But it's like, that is, I can't believe I used to, I mean, it sounds so silly, but I can't believe I used to walk around like that. But anyway, so I'll go into, so we've had over 3 years, and if you guys are in Dallas, we go to Lashing Out, and I've been going to her for 2.5 years, or maybe more than that, I don't even know, a long time, and she has a bunch of girls working there now. I mean, I started going to her when it was just her, but she has...
But I've been to, like, a lot of the...
All the other girls that are there are still really good. They're all great, and our mom goes there, too, now, and I know a lot of you guys have messaged us saying that you go to her, too, now, and so many people, and they stay there because they love the way she does them, or everyone, the whole place. And so I'll kind of talk about it a little bit, and then I'll let Sam kind of answer a little bit more too. But so basically what you do is you go, so there's, okay, I should start, there's a few different types you can get. There's classic, and every place kind of has different names for them, but basically there's the classic lashes, and there's the Russian volume, which is what we have. And then, I don't know, there's probably other levels, but that's basically what our place does. There's two. There's Russian volume, or volume, and classic. And classic is basically just, it's one lash per eyelash. So basically, the way eyelash extensions work is they glue a lash. It's, what is it made out of? It's synthetic, right?
I mean, they make some.
Because they will burn if you get near it. I've had experience. So, they glue one lash per each of your eyelashes. So if you don't have a lot of eyelashes, like we have a ton, like I said, every person's eye will look different. And so like we have, compared to like our mom, we have like a lot more lashes. So ours just look fuller to begin with. Even though the same volume ones, it looks different on each person. So they glue one eye, for the classic, they glue one eyelash per eyelash in your eye. And if you have the volume, it's 3 eyelashes per eyelash. So it's, like I said, the volume word, it's a lot more full looking.
But the 3 lashes are going to be thinner, really thin, like a lot thinner than the 1-to-1.
Yeah, because if it's too heavy. Yeah. And so they glue, so it's 3, I mean, I don't even think like this huge lash on each eyelash. It's like tiny. It's like microscopic. And they don't feel heavy. You don't feel like you're wearing anything. So they glue 3 per each eyelash. And the reason I do the volume of the classic is because it makes a fuller lash, and so like as they fall out, and I didn't know this for the longest time, your lashes obviously fall out. So when you're losing them, like when you go, the reason you have to keep going back is because your lashes grow out, and then your not regular lashes fall out with the extension attached to them. The extension sometimes will fall off, but they really should fall out with your natural lashes.
If you think about, if you're like wondering how they're attached, I mean, they're attached like pretty close. Like it doesn't hurt your eye or anything, but if you think of like how a hair extension works, it's like attached, it's not attached like at your scalp. It's like a little bit after your scalp. It's kind of the same idea with this. So they grow out just like extensions, hair extensions
and
grow out.
And as they fall out, as your natural lashes fall out, you need to go get, you know, they fill them. So If you see, like, a bunch of yours falling out, it's not like anything bad's happening. It's just supposed to, I mean, sometimes your lash go in cycles, so there's times that I'll go get them filled, and, like, I lose so many, and I'm like, what's going on? But sometimes you just lose a lot of eyelashes at one time, depending on the weather, depending on your body. It's so weird. But, so, yeah. So, we go, we get ours done. So, with the, okay, and then another thing with the classic is, so, as you lose those, there's more gaps, I feel like, because there's not as many lashes on your eyes. Like, I feel like you can see more of a difference. If you want a very natural look, that's probably the way to go. If you want, if you're someone who likes to have a little bit more fullness, I would do the Russian volume. And at first, her mom was like, no, I don't want that. But she's ended up getting the Russian volume, and I know she likes it now. It's not about being, like, super dramatic. I mean, yeah, they look pretty full when you first get them. Like, if you're looking at someone from low down, it's, mm-hmm. like, a lot. But I like having them, and we get asked literally probably every day about them. So, no matter where I am, like, I'm at the gym or I'm just, like, out, even if I'm not wearing any makeup, people want to know.
Yeah, someone said, what I like about them, like, jumping before, when you're saying something at the gym, I get asked a lot at the gym, probably because I'm, like, not wearing any makeup.
Yeah.
Between that and the micro, or I don't have microblading, the semi-permanent hairline strokes we have on our eyebrows, it's similar to microblading. Between that, those two things that are, like, kind of permanent or, like, semi-permanent that I have, I don't, obviously don't wear, like Alexis was saying, I don't wear makeup to the gym or really if I go out anywhere really during the day. Mm-hmm. But people, a lady at the gym asked me and she was saying, I said, well, it's kind of like a maintenance thing because you have to, just like your nails, you have to keep mm-hmm. going back when it grows out. And she was like, well, I like to think of it as, I don't know what she said, something about it's maintenance for low maintenance or something like that.
Yeah, it's true.
Because if you're so low maintenance, you don't want to have to do all that, but you just wake up looking
like, and then like nice. If you wear mascara, it like flakes off, it's like all black on your eyes. It gets all yucky. Like, it's just not.
And the other thing was, when I saw Alexa saying we had really good lashes in high school. But then when I got to college and when I started working and then my corporate job and then when I did the personal training, I wouldn't wear mascara. So I would just sit there and curl my lashes, like, all day. Like, I would, if the curl falls out eventually. And I would just sit there and curl them all the time because they looked better. And they were, I was like, why do they look so short? And when I went to get my first set of lashes on ever, like 3 years ago, she was like, she showed me in the mirror when I closed my eye, in the middle, they were all broken from curling them. And so that's probably happening to a lot of you guys too, if you mm-hmm. curl them a lot. So that's also a negative to not having them.
But I mean, with all this being, well, I'll talk at the end. We're going to talk about pricing and all that in a little bit, because I know that's probably what you guys are asking, but wanting to know, not asking. But the way the process works is, well, for our girl, the place that we go, you can book everything online. All the pricing is there. She has, I think you book it through her website, which then takes you to like another app to book it. But the way the process works is you go in, and if you're starting out no lashes, you will go, and they have like these little, almost like a bed, like when you're getting a massage, and you'll lay on there on your back and you'll close your eyes. You'll put little pads like underneath your eyes and you'll shut your eyes and they'll be sitting behind you and they'll be working on your eyelashes. When you get your first set, it probably takes like 2 hours. So be ready to be there for a while because they're starting from scratch. And then the fills, so depending on how often you go, we go between 2.5 to 3 weeks, and that's just because we work out a lot and that they fall out more easily. But most people can go 4 or 5 weeks. I mean, it really just depends on how fast your eyelashes grow and all that. But so we'll go every 2-3 weeks to get them filled, and that takes like an hour. So it's not as bad, and we're usually talking to her the whole time, or you can take a nap, which is nice. Like, I feel so tired when I get up because I'm like, my eyes have been shut for an hour, but I haven't been napping. So it's like a really weird feeling. But so that's the way the process works. And when I found the place that we went to, I did a ton of research because there's a lot of places like Groupons and stuff, and like you really can destroy your lashes. So be careful where you go to. Really do your research like anything else. Don't go look for like a low price. Like, you're really gonna have to spend a lot of money. Like, that's the way it is. If you want good lashes and you want someone to screw them up, you need to go to someone good. And I would say go to Yelp. Go on Yelp. Look at pictures. Look at their Instagrams. And really see before and afters. And really do your research. Read the reviews. Like, just really pay attention. As far as pricing goes, like, everybody's different. I know that you can spend anywhere from, like, a couple hundred dollars for a full set. And then for the fills, it can range from like 75, like 70 to like 100 and something, depending on who you go to, depending on where you live, what your lash, which lashes you have. So I would just say, you know, again, do your research and be willing to invest a little money. I mean, you could always, I know a lot of people do them for their weddings or a special event. You could always start off by doing that and then see how much you like them. And then I feel like people get hooked after that, but you could just try them for something or for like your birthday or like a gift. They do gift cards and stuff. So I know our mom got us that for Hanukkah. And so I think it's a great, great gift if you don't know what someone, like someone could buy you that if you don't know what to get. But I would, in all, I would suggest it. I know that our friends have done lash lifts and that's like you're not getting extensions, but I know Enlighten does the lash lifts, I think. And that just like basically like curls your lashes permanently for like a little bit. So it depends what route you want to go. I mean, but I mean like it's, you don't have to curl them all the time. I personally love the extensions, but
people have asked what you do for eye makeup. I mean, to be honest, ever since I've had them, I don't wear a lot of eye makeup, but you can like on certain occasions when I put like eyeshadow or something on. I don't wear mascara on the lashes unless like they're all gone because it will make them fall out quicker and you really shouldn't need to. If you feel like you need to wear mascara, you need to go somewhere else where they'll make them appear more. But I only wear on the bottom, if that. And you can wear eyeshadow, you just to be very careful when you take off your eye makeup because you can't, like, rub your eyes. I mean, when you sleep, I'm really not that careful anymore. When I first got them, I was like, oh, no, like, I can't sleep on them. But now I, like, sleep on them all the time. And if I lose them, then whatever. But for eye makeup, just be careful when you wipe around your eye. You can't, like, smear, like, a pad over them because you will.
Yeah, it's not like having, oil, like, your own lashes. Yeah,
oil will, like, remove the glue.
And steam,
too. And steam, too. Yeah. So you have to be aware. Like, if you get a facial, you need to book it around your eyelashes and you can't, like, really get in the sauna because the heat will take off all the glue. Not for 1 second or the next, but it'll wear it down.
Yeah, and I think if you guys have other questions on that, you can always message us about if you don't know if you forgot where we went or you have some questions about it. But our next topic, similar to the lashes, another beauty topic, another thing that seems kind of false, is our hair. And we got a lot of questions about where we go. And to start off with, you go to Hair by Viviana in Dallas at Peachy Keen Salon or Studio. Peachy Keen Studio?
I don't know. Studio.
And she's amazing, like, by the way. We've been going to her since we lived in Dallas, so a long time. And we've gotten questions recently about our hair and what our favorite products are to use. So first, I'm going to start with the hair. We do have tape and extensions. It's not like a secret. I'm not hiding it. I'm not like, oh, this is my real hair. I do have great hair, but
I do have amazing hair. No. Hair.
Like, I don't have, like, really thin, brittle hair. Like, we have a lot of hair. I didn't get them because I don't have a lot of hair.
Honestly, the way they look now, my hair looked like this probably like 2 years ago.
Yeah, so we had pretty long hair a couple years ago, and if you guys have been following us for a while, maybe you've read the post about adrenal fatigue, or you know that we've talked about it. We've been having a lot of hormonal issues, and all of it stems, I mean, not all of it stems, it can cause a lot of issues with your hair growth and your nail growth and all that stuff. My nails still grow fine, but they're weak, and my hair, it just, like, stopped growing. It grows, obviously. I can tell by my gray that's growing out, but it doesn't get very long like how it used to. It doesn't stay. It's really weird. So we decided to get extensions. We've actually had them for a while.
Since September.
People probably didn't realize because it was like we ordered them. It was so weird. We ordered them, and they're supposed to be longer than our normal hair, obviously. But then our hair must have grown, like, a lot in between the time she ordered them and the time they came back in. And we put them in because they were, like, only a little bit longer than our real hair. And then my hair started growing, and, like, so when you put them in, like, we have tape and extensions, and those are supposed to be the least damaging your hair. I don't know that much about other extensions. I really don't. But I know they're real hair, and I don't know the brands or anything, but I know that she orders all them, and she matches them and all that. But when you put them in, we put them in September, and every 6 to 8 weeks she moves them up because your hair grows, and you retape them in, and then, like, we used them until those same extensions for, like, 6 months. If you take care of them and stuff, you should be able to use them that long. I mean, it's an investment, so hopefully.
It's definitely not an expensive.
It's a lot of money, yeah. So the initial reason we got them was because, not because we're, like, bloggers or whatever, just because my hair wasn't growing, and I was like, I want it to be longer, and she was like, it really holds the curl much better, and it's, like, I mean, if you really pay attention, now I'm noticing it more, like, not every blogger, but a lot of people have them, and they just don't say anything. I mean, that's fine, but I just didn't really notice it before. I was just like, oh, they have great hair. Mm-hmm. And they probably do, but extensions help a lot, especially with braids.
If you see anyone with, like, a very thick braid or just, like, really long, I mean, I'm not going to say everyone, but most people, they just have hair that looks too good to be true. It probably is.
And there are some people that just have really great hair. I mean, I'm not trying to brag, but we do have good hair.
Yeah, we have good hair without them, but it's just not going to be
aesthetic,
that thick
and volume. It holds the curl differently. It just looks different
than we'll go into the positives, but literally, if I go get my hair blown out, you know, by my hairstylist or somewhere, I can just, if I don't, sometimes, even in the humidity, I don't even have to brush it off. I can just wake up the next day, and it will be, look like I, pretty much like I styled it, even when I do it on my own. So that's, like, one positive about it. And that is true that it holds a curl, because I have wavy hair, and so it does have a lot of body on its own, but it will, in humidity, the curl will come out.
Yeah. So, the tape-ins are expensive. I don't remember how much we paid for ours, but they're an investment for sure. Like I said, you get to use them for 6 months, and it could be longer or shorter depending on who you go to.
And they are the real hair.
Yeah, they're the real hair. So you curl it. You wash them, you heat them, whatever. You cut them, you can color them. But, before that we had a halo, which is like the clip-in ones, but
I never wore mine.
It's a little too short. Like, it's kind of short. I wanted it to be longer. And I only wore it for some pictures, and even then, it was just too heavy. Extensions they're lighter than the halo, but they take a little getting used to.
Yeah.
So they tape them in very close to your scalp, and then it almost feels like a doll. You have, like, all these little patches, like, all over your head, and, like, I've had them for so long now that I'm used to it, but it feels really tight in the beginning.
And when she takes them out, I feel like I'm, like, bald.
I'm like, oh, my God, I have no hair. Like, this feels so light. But, so they tape them in. They use, like, this, I think, heat to seal the tape in, and sometimes they will or something to tape
them. I think it's just like a tool.
I don't know. I know there's like beads and other stuff, but she told us this was the safest one, like the best use for your hair.
Yeah, like she won't do the other ones because she's very into damaging your hair.
I don't know. Everyone probably has
but everyone's pain. Different. Yeah,
I haven't had any issues with these, but like I said, we've had them for 6 months. So then a couple weeks ago, we got the longer ones. I don't know what our length is.
20.
Sounds really long.
I don't know
how long. I mean, I'm saying they are long. Yeah. She put them in. I was like, oh, my God. I look like a Barbie. But, and I do. Probably.
But I quickly got used to them.
I quickly was like, I love these. Like, at first, I'm like, it's so much hair. But now, I'm like, I'm used to it. I love it. The only thing is, like, when working out, it's a lot of hair in the way.
I just end up wearing it in a low pony because it dents.
Okay, we're, like, jumping all over the place. But, so they are really long, but I love the length. And they're great. Like, they hold the curl. I will literally go over a week without washing it. I know that sounds disgusting. And right now, in those days, it's really pushing it and it smells. And I'm like, I really need to wash it.
You're grossing me out.
It doesn't smell, but, like, I mean, I work out. I mean, your hair, just, like, after a while, it's a lot of hair.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it really is not that bad. And probably the most people, it looks clean. Like, people have no idea. Like, I posting it on Instagram, like, your hair looks so great. I'm like, it's so dirty. But I mean, whatever. I rock it, so.
Own it.
Own it. Yeah, I do own it. Okay, the only thing also with putting your hair up is, like, you can see the little tape-ins. So you guys probably notice I don't wear it up all 10, but our hairstylist always says just to own it, that everyone has them.
I did wear it in a bun.
Yeah.
I posted a couple weeks ago.
You can tease it and kind of hide it. I think the beads are probably easier to hide.
Yeah.
But the tape-ins are, I highly recommend them. They're expensive, but.
Yeah, the two negatives, I would say, there's a lot of positives, but the two negatives, there's a couple. The expense, for one, you need to save up for them if you don't have that in your budget. And it also costs money when, obviously, extra every time they have to move them up. For two, they definitely take time getting used to because they are heavier, like, than not having them at all.
And they're tight.
And they're tight when they first put them in. And you need to, like, worry about, like, I remember the first, we got them in September, I ran a 10K.
Yeah.
Yeah, 10K. Yeah, yeah. I'm forgetting what we did. I was about to say 5K. And I was like, wait, no. I think it was longer. 10K, like, literally the next day. And I was like, what do I do with all this hair? Like, I'm used to putting in a top bun. Yeah. And it was, like, so much hair to run and sweat with in the summer. But anyway, I still love them. And then the third part is washing your hair. It is a commitment every time you wash it, because I never thought about this way, but someone was telling me, like, when you have hair in your scalp, when you blow dry it or it dries, you have the heat from your scalp that's like drying it too. You know, it's attached to your body. These extensions are not, I mean, they're not, they're attached to a piece of hair. So when they're wet, it takes forever to dry. I mean, not forever, but definitely a longer time. And you need to really keep them dry because you're going to fry your hair if you try to curl it when it's wet. Mm-hmm. So you really have to get it completely dry. And the rest of your hair will still be dry, and then your extension will like still be wet if you don't focus on it. So I'm not going to lie, a lot of the time, I just think it's way easier to just go get a blowout, because I mean, I definitely wash it myself a lot. But I'm like, when I'm lazy, I'm like, I don't want to, like, especially with these long ones, I'm like, I don't want to wash it. It's like such a commitment. You need to carve time. It really, okay, it's honestly not that bad once you like do it, but I dry hair. Doing it, yeah. And it's like more drying it. Washing it, you have to make sure you just like clean in between the extensions. You have to wash it a certain way. I mean, it's really not that big of a deal, no. But you do have to wash it a little bit differently because you can't like scrub your head than you normally do, because you need to be more gentle. But aside from that, some people were asking about the products we use, and
I don't think using anything in particular. I mean, honestly, we shared them before, and I'm gonna do an updated blog post on this, but we use the Amika shampoo and conditioner, and then when we style it, like I said in the last episode, we use a heat protection spray.
Yeah, always make sure you use a heat protection, because it is real hair, yeah. And it will start getting damaged just like your real hair.
Sorry, nice, I just slurped my straw.
It will start getting damaged, obviously, with all the heat that you do. I will say I don't curl it as much because it stays, so I feel like it's staying healthier. And it's also a good thing if you want to do like more lighter colors in your hair, they can do that with extensions instead of frying your own hair, like trying to do it blonde. So if you wanted like a mixture of color, I think I've heard that's a really good way to do it, because it's obviously it's already in the extension. So it's not your hair that they're dyeing as much. But there are, so yeah, heat protecting spray. And then I use this serum. I'll have to look at what the brand was, but it's that I put on the ends of my hair too when I'm done styling it, just to help it not look dry. But those are the products we like, and that's what we do for our hair. But I don't think it's, obviously, I think, I mean, there's been, I'm so used to them now, but I always say, I don't know that I'll have them forever. I mean, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I kind of love them, but it's also, like I said, a big commitment, money and time-wise, and I'm sure I'll take a break. And honestly, if my hair ever grows to where it was, it didn't look as full, but it really looked very similar. Because like I'm saying, if you didn't fall at the time, it does, looking at pictures, it really didn't look that different. Just a little bit more full. But
it wasn't this long.
It wasn't this long, but it was pretty long.
Yeah.
Anyway, so moving on. Again, if you guys have any other specific questions, feel free to email us or send us a message on Instagram. But we're going to move on to our favorites, our last topic of this podcast, and we're going to talk about our favorite restaurants in Dallas. They're not necessarily new. Well, one of them is new, but they're new to us. We didn't try them. So my favorite restaurant, and actually not favorite, it's like become, that wasn't the topic, but it's become one of my favorite restaurants, is called, I don't know how to pronounce this.
I don't either.
Zaytinya? I don't know. I'm probably botching it, and I'm like,
just spell it out.
It's Zaytinya. So you guys can figure out how to say that. But anyway, if you saw our stories over on Sunday, Alexis and I went to brunch, kind of, I guess, yeah, brunch to this restaurant. And it's at the Star in Frisco, which is like such a cool area. Now they've really developed it. We went in August to do something with the Cowboys, and that's where they have like their practice facility and so many cool things for the Cowboys. And they had, this was all like dirt road at the time. And since then they've expanded, they put like a ton of restaurants over there and so many things, and it looks so good. So if you live in the Dallas area, I definitely recommend it. They have some other restaurants you probably recognize and some other new ones that they just put right there. And this is one of them. This restaurant, if you're in DC, you can go there. They have it in DC and now one in Dallas. Well, I guess Frisco, but that's considered Dallas. And so they only have it in two spots, but literally it was the most amazing food I've ever eaten. Mm-hmm. I love it's Mediterranean, but it's not like, I don't know.
It's like Lebanese,
it's Turkish. It's Lebanese, Turkish, like all of those together. And it's so good. Everything is so fresh. The quality is amazing. And it's not like you're eating like, it is pita, but it's not like you're going to like, I don't know, what's like a standard, you know, like what you think of it is Mediterranean, but it's like more upscale. So it's so like, for example, they have like calamari. We went there, we tried a bunch of different plates, not calamari, octopus, but that's what calamari is, but grilled. And they had, I was thinking of the branzino
that they fly. Obviously a ton of hummus, baba ganoush.
But it's all, so we met the sous chef and it's all like, he was like from there.
He's from Lebanon.
Yeah. And he was saying, like, explaining all the different dishes, but everything is like, you can tell they're very passionate about it. First of all, the space is like gorgeous. The restaurant is like, you feel like you're in Lebanon. Turkey or Greece or something like that. It's so pretty and it's so open and pretty and clean. And then even the plates are pretty. Yeah. And so everything we tried was amazing. Like the hummus and the baba ganoush was like, literally, I felt like I was in that country. It was so good. And I've tried stuff. I have a lot of family in Israel. It felt like I was like in Israel eating the food. It was very authentic and it just had a different taste. And then everything, like the fish, like he was telling us, the branzino, they fly it in from, I think, from Greece. It's like, it tastes like it. It was amazing. We had like things of kebabs. Like we had, everything was.
The desserts were amazing.
The dessert was literally amazing. Yeah. And just like, we got to learn stuff about eggplant. Like I love eggplant. I didn't know certain things about it.
And the Turkish tea.
Yeah. It was like a whole setup. Yeah. It's like my new favorite restaurant. So, I would definitely recommend it. Or if you're in DC, you can go there. Or if you're visiting, but.
And then mine, we went to a couple weeks ago, and it's called 60 Vines. It's in Plano, which is like 20-30 minutes from Dallas.
It's actually close to Frisco.
Yeah, and I loved the restaurant. The space was just so pretty. It's very Californian vibe. And we sat in the, like, the patio. It was, like, enclosed, but it was, like, really, like, a greenhouse almost. And they had, of course I got roasted chicken, but they had pizzas. It was, like, Italian, but also, like, other stuff. They had, like, fish. They had steak. And they had, they have a bunch of, like, tons of, it's a wine bar. They have so many wines. Yeah. And you can get, like, a really small glass, too, which Sam and I got because we don't drink a lot. And we got, like, roasted cauliflower. They had, I don't remember what else.
Cauliflower rice.
Oh, yeah, the cauliflower rice. Like, a bunch of healthy options. Yeah, but pizzas. Also pizzas and stuff like that. And I just loved the vibe. It was really pretty.
It was crowded, too. Yeah. It was a big space.
And both the places take reservations, so we highly recommend going on Open Table and doing that. So those are our favorites for this week, and we will be back next week. I know we're a little delayed this week, but we'll be back next week. Don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you can't find a way to subscribe, you might have to resubscribe, like unsubscribe from our other old one and then resubscribe. Search for us and resubscribe again. That way you get the notifications when we post. But we'll be back next week with new topics. And thank you guys so much for listening. We'll see you soon.